Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the JSW Energy Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Faizan. On behalf of DAM Capital, I welcome you all to the Q2 FY23 earnings call of JSW Energy. From the management, we have Mr. Prashant Jain, Joint Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Pritesh Vinay, Director of Finance, and Mr. Ashwin Bajaj, Group Head, Investor Relations, Mr. Vikas Chaudhary, Investor Relations and Treasury Head. We'll start with a brief opening remarks followed by Q&A. I will now hand over the call to Ashwin Bajaj. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mohit, for hosting the call, and a very good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to JSW Energy's Q2 results call, where we will detail our results as well as our renewable-led growth strategy. We have our management team, as Mohit introduced. Let me hand it over to Mr. Jain for opening remarks, and then we'll take questions. Mr. Jain.
Thank you, Ashwin. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The quarter gone by, we have seen a power demand growth at 5.7%, which has moderated from 18% power demand growth, which we saw in Q1 in the current financial year. For the H1, the power demand growth stood at 11.8%. The current quarter also, the power demand is growing at a good pace, but we are expecting that this year should be ending something at around 8%-8.5% power demand growth. The total installed capacity for the sector is now at 408 GW, with a net capacity addition of 4 GW in quarter two, and total 8.3 GW capacity addition in H1. All this capacity which was added up during the quarter was renewable capacity, 3.1 GW coming from solar and 0.9 GW coming from wind. With this, total installed renewable capacity stood at 165 GW, which is in excess of 40% of the installed capacity. The merchant volume went down by 18% during the quarter at 20 billion units, with the average tariff at 5.4 rupees per kWh, which is lower than the previous quarter. Now the weighted average for the H1 stood at 6.59 rupees. The current quarter prices are also running quite low, close to an average of 4.5-5 rupees because of better availability of the thermal power at this point of time and moderate power demand growth. In terms of the company, the net generation was 6.7 billion units, which was 2% lower than the last year, which was primarily due to the weak merchant market during the quarter, as well as the Ratnagiri 300 MW unit was under maintenance. The EBITDA was at 1,098 crore, which was up by 2%. Profit after tax was up by 37% at 466 crore. Cash profit was 681 crore, higher by 12%. We maintained our trajectory of receivables. It was down 19% at 66 days during the end of the quarter. The current quarter also, we are doing pretty good in terms of the receivable metrics. We are maintaining a healthy receivable metrics. In terms of the projects, now, our committed pipeline is 10 GW and which is going to be completed ahead of our earlier guidance of FY 2025. and this is without the new domain which we have started, which is the battery storage and pump storage vertical. So 1 GWh of battery storage project, which we have recently, we were the winning bidder in the SECI tender, is over and above this 10 GW of the pipeline. Now, the projects are also moving as planned ahead of the schedule, and starting from the current quarter, the commissioning of the SECI 10 projects will start, and then month-on-month, we will be seeing the incremental capacities which are coming up. We are also doing pretty good in terms of the hydro pump storage pipeline, and which is moving. In addition to that, we have also secured some new projects in hydro projects, which are run-of-the-river in Himachal Pradesh. So one project we have already got awarded the LOI. There are some more projects which are in pipeline across the country, which we are looking, because we see that, given the new hydropower purchase obligation, there will be an incremental demand which will be coming up going forward. And after we complete our Kutehr project next financial year, we will be deploying that execution team to undertake new hydro projects going forward. With this, I end my opening remarks. We are happy to take the question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Anuj Upadhyay from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my question relates to the status on the Mytrah acquisition, sir, if you can provide some update on that. Secondly, anything on the Utkal Ind-Barath project? I mean, last call we had mentioned probably we are relooking in to acquire that project. And also, if you can provide some kind of a timeline in tying up the untied capacity of the Vijayanagar for our captive group plants. That's it, sir.
Thank you. So with regards to Mytrah, the necessary condition precedents are being implemented, and we are expecting that we will be completing the transaction within the current quarter. And with regards to the Ind-Barath Utkal, honorable NCLT had already given its judgment to by approving the plan. And we are working with the lenders to implement the plan as a part of our decarbonization strategy. We are working on this plant to do the vertical integration to enter into the polysilicon market. And that is our strategy, and we will be based on this 700 MW power plant capacity, we will be working to do the vertical integration to manufacture polysilicon. The third part is with respect to the untied capacity. JSW Steel is already has already undertaken 5 million ton capacity expansion at Vijayanagar, and their scheduled commissioning is sometime in calendar year 2025. And so accordingly, our untied capacity will be looked into the group captive model going forward.
Sir, can you mention what quantum of untied capacity can be parked for this 5 million ton of extended capacity at Vijayanagar? And just a clarification on the, in Bharat, you mentioned about the vertical integration. So are you saying that project will probably serve the need, the purpose of captive arrangement? Is my understanding correct?
Absolutely.
Fine.
On the point, we are still working out, but a majority of untied capacity will be looked into that capacity extension.
Okay, fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. My first question is our maiden, battery storage bin. Sir, what is the status of, the LOI, and can you please throw your strategy or give some light on how do you want to schedule your the market capacity? I believe there is a 40% which you opened to the market, and how do you see this, this open capacity to tied up or you want to participate in the ancillary market?
So we are yet to receive the LOI from SECI, and we are given to understand sometime in the current quarter we will be receiving that LOI. And at this point of time, we are absolutely open to work both on ancillary market as well as to tie up this capacity with some of the DISCOMs. We have already been, we have received some interest both from DISCOMs as well as some corporates who want to take up this open capacity which is available with us. And we have factored both the opportunities with this. And I can give you one color that ancillary market is also equally exciting opportunity, and in some cases what we are seeing is more remunerative as compared to what we do the type of capacity.
Understood, sir. Also on the pumped storage plant side, of course, they've built a large pipeline. When do you think, we will be ready to execute something? Is it contingent on getting some PPA? Is it getting some on getting some hydrogen or hydrogen order?
No, it's not contingent on that. It's primarily at this point of time is the regulatory approvals which are being undertaken. But to give you some color, that the first project will be a captive project which will be used for our Vijayanagar plant, and which we are taking the necessary regulatory approval, and we are expecting that we will start that construction sometime in next calendar year once we secure the necessary regulatory approval, which is predominantly the environment clearance.
That's a How will the debt to EBITDA or debt to an equity look after the Mitra acquisition? And are we looking to raise some capital? Do you think we need to raise some capital to for the further growth?
We have explained in our last call, with this existing pipeline, both for 2.2 gigawatt and of the under construction projects as well as Mitra acquisition plus the new acquired pipeline, all put together, we will be below the 4.5, 4.6 times debt EBITDA level, and so we are quite comfortable, and we will be still throwing a lot of cash because right now we are generating in excess of around 2400 to 2500 crore of the cash profit, which is very, very healthy, which will be also going to increase with this commissioning of these projects as well as the acquisition, which will have a sufficient, which will be sufficient to grow our pipeline. However, if we get any kind of a great opportunity where we feel there is a good transaction which can be value accretive for all the shareholders, as well as there is an opportunity to deploy that particular capital by making substantial growth strides, we will not be averse to raising the capital. But at the current capital deployment requirement and the projects which are under pipeline, we do not need any capital.
Lastly on this, sir, our bidding appetite on the solar and wind, I think we are not participating in solar as of now. Is it a no-go area for us, sir?
So my question is other way around, the people who are bidding, why they are not building? So we are not doing anything which we cannot build.
Understood, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I just wanted to ask you whether you're looking at adding some capacities.
So yes, there will be an additional pipeline after we complete this project. There are further opportunities which have been already outlined. And so we are looking into that and at some point of time next calendar year we will be announcing that pipeline. And in addition to that, we are also working to do further C&I business with the third parties. So of course beyond this 10 gigawatt there will be additional pipeline which will be announced next calendar year.
Understood. Sir, also, after Q1, in the annual report, last year you had booked certain revenue through sale of carbon credits. So I just wanted to know, at that time you mentioned that the inventory is somewhere around 20 million. So have we booked any revenue through it in H1? And what is the inventory right now that we're having?
So, you know, after the Ukraine war, the carbon credit prices have dropped dramatically. The carbon credits which were trading more than $7.5-$8 have come down to $2.5 at this point of time, which we also believe is transitory in nature and which will once again go up. So at this point of time, we are holding the inventory. We have not sold any more incremental, or whatever we have sold is also very insignificant. And so, Pritesh, what is the inventory? Right now is the same what we were having?
Almost.
It's almost the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather, it will be increased with the fresh accruals also. Yeah.
And so... sir, and how are receivables looking like? Have they increased? And has the Rajasthan government participated in government liquidity fee?
Repeat your question once again.
Sir, has the Rajasthan government participated in the government liquidity fee?
So, Nikhil, let me come in here. We may not be privy to state-wise participation in the liquidity scheme of the government. But what we can do comment on is that if you look at our receivables trend, as Prashant mentioned at the opening, you know, on a year-on-year basis, the overall receivables have come down by 19% from a DSO equivalent point of view. But more interesting is this, that within that, the amount of overdues has actually come down by 23%. And as we are speaking right now, subsequent to the end of the quarter, there are actually no overdues that we have from the Rajasthan DISCOMs.
Or any other DISCOM.
Yeah, or any other DISCOM. So therefore, whether it is on account of their participation in liquidity scheme of government or not, we may not be able to exactly confirm to that. But as far as our overdues are concerned, we don't have any overdues at this point of time.
Understood, sir. And previously, you also mentioned about our plans to get into polysilicon. So when will we be able to announce anything specific regarding that, or is it contingent on any PLI scheme coming from the government?
So we are working on this the contours of the project, because this is absolutely new area for the country. So there are various barriers. There are the technology barriers. There is a talent barrier. And there are various other challenges in terms of engineering and other things with which we are building all those blocks. And so in due course, we will be announcing as and when we are ready with that. And of course, we will be certainly participating in the PLI scheme as and when the final scheme is, bidding is started.
Understood, sir. That's all from my side. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Anuj Upadhyay from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again, sir. Just a follow-up on my first question, which was related to the polysilicon thing. Need one clarity, sir. I mean, are we planning to come out with a complete integrated modern manufacturing thing, right from polysilicon to the modern manufacturing? And if yes, then what is the quantum which we are eyeing basically out here? And are we waiting for the PLI schemes to get launched so that we can decide upon the quantum, or we are still, I mean, like, we are fine enough to go ahead with irrespective of the PLI benefits?
So there are a number of factors which will be deciding all these. That's why we said that we will be talking in a due course. So we need to understand that India is having a large, ambitious plan for renewable energy growth, which will be not only used for the power generation but also electron to molecule business, and for that there will be a large requirement of polysilicon and also the ingots and wafers, and there are huge export opportunities going forward, because after the new Inflation Reduction Act, which has been announced in the United States, as well as the decarbonization strategy of Europe, there will be a huge requirement of polysilicon going forward, both in Europe as well as the American market. So we are working out the contours in terms of our own requirement, also to meet the domestic requirement as well as to the export opportunities. And also there are various PLI contours, which all will be the determining factor when we will figure out that how much is the polysilicon capacity and how much is the ingot and wafer capacity and how much is the cell and module capacity. Of course, there will be a certain capacity which will be end-to-end, and there will be some capacity which will be only polysilicon or only ingot and wafer level. So we are freezing that with various variables, and then we will be announcing once we have participated in the PLI scheme.
Got it.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Modi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, pardon me if I'm repetitive, if I missed this. Can you throw some light on the plans that we are having in terms of the pumped hydro storage for the next 3 to 5 years and the capex that we earmarked and when are we expecting this CapEx to start? Thank you.
So we are already having right now a portfolio of 50 gigawatt hour of the pumped storage. And as I mentioned, sometime in the next calendar year, first project will start, where we do not have any issues with respect to land. It's only the, or the PPA. It is the, it's the regulatory approval, which we will complete in that during this time. And then we will start, and then it will be, the first project will take 3 years to commission. And similarly, all of the projects where our final DPR is under preparation, so that it needs to be approved by CEA before we start the project. Second part is that you have to acquire the land, whatever is the private land. If there is a forest clearance, then you need to take forest clearance. But majority of our projects, there is not implication of projects, but you have to acquire the land, you have to take environment clearance. So all these projects are going to take anything between 12 months to 24 months before you hit the ground. So first project we see to hit the ground in the calendar year 23, and thereafter calendar year 24 onwards, there will be a various projects which will be hitting the ground. So it's going to be a cycle. Simultaneously, we will be building more portfolio of pumped hydro project. So as we explained last time, that the grid will be requiring large portfolio of the pumped hydro projects. So going forward, these will be very big, intermittency solution for the grid, which we will be deploying over a period of time.
So this is very helpful. So the first project that you are suggesting that we'll be starting in CY23, so that is what capacity, and if you could suggest what would be the total cost, and you mentioned that the PPA is not needed. Is it already signed with a particular, how does the mechanism work?
So basically, it's an integrated solution which we are going to do for our group captive requirement, and it will be close to 1 gigawatt hour.
Okay, and what will be the cost to this?
So once we are signing the PPAs and everything, we will be announcing everything. But typically, I can give you a color. The pumped hydro projects are in the range of 4 crore per megawatt to 6.5 crore per megawatt. And pumped storage projects are typically between 5-hour storage to 8 hours storage. Depending upon the type of project and everything, it is there. So you can do the maths on your own accordingly.
Sure. And sir, you will be using your own renewable for the power injection, or this will be primarily from the grid to be, or your captive coal plants to begin with?
The first project will be integrated for our own requirement.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
So we are working our own microgrid in a future where we will be coming out with a solution where there will be a solar park, there will be a wind park, there will be our own transmission corridor integrated well with the pump storage, and then we come out with a large RTC solution.
Okay, perfect, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anshuman Ashit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sorry if I may have missed this. But, sir, you have recently also received a letter of intent for Chattu Hydroelectric Power Plant. So could you please give us some details on that, on the timelines for DPR preparation and the cost which we can expect?
So this is one project where already it was earlier allocated to some private party where the DPR is already in place. Also, there was the environment clearance which was in place. Now, we are going to do the working and we have to revalidate the DPR, we have to reinstate the environment clearance, and post that we will be participating in various bids or tying up the PPA with the DISCOMs who are interested to source hydropower. And as I said, there are a couple of more projects which are already in pipeline, which will be also coming up. And so being the largest private sector hydropower producer in the country, we are building these kind of a portfolios which will be going into a PPA and then construction going forward. We have already built a very good capability to execute the project in a most efficient way after the operating the plants in a most efficient way. Our Kutehar project, which we started the groundbreaking in the October 2019, in spite of three COVID waves, we are running ahead of schedule. We completed 85% of the tunneling. We are expecting this will be the fastest ever project built in the country in the recent times by any hydropower plant developer. So with the those kind of a capabilities and the hydropower purchase obligation, we are quite upbeat about various opportunities, and that's why we are doing all this.
So is there any portion of the generation which we'll have to share with or give for free to the Himachal Pradesh DISCOM?
This Government of India has already come out with a regulation that now the free power to the state is fixed at 12% throughout the life of the project, and project life is also now decided by the Government of India under the policy at 40 years. So it's a single norm for all old and the future power projects.
Okay. And sir, just wanted to know your view on the coal prices going forward for FY23. And based on that, what do you believe that the merchant prices will be favorable for us to sell on the exchanges? If you could throw some light on that.
So I am sorry, I will not be able to give you any kind of a guidance on the coal prices, because these are the unprecedented times with a lot of variables and factors. So given the current situation, it is very tough to make a call. But the way the natural gas prices are coming down now, if that trend continues, then the thermal coal prices will immediately drop. So if natural gas prices remain elevated, then thermal coal prices will remain elevated. So everything is contingent upon geopolitical situation at Europe and also the natural gas prices. Otherwise, demand and supply perspective on a normalized business environment case, the thermal coal prices should not be more than $100.
Sir, are the current merchant prices favorable for us to sell on the exchanges?
No.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thanks, operator, and thanks everyone for joining us today. Please reach out to us if you have any further questions. Good evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.